What's up, guys? HVK here. And for our second episode this week, we have another review. Not a movie review, but a book review this time. And not a comic book review, but an actual, you know, regular book review. And this is Cicero's Selected Works. It's a Penguin Classics novel. And basically, it's just a collection of certain letters and certain treatises and things like that written by Cicero, the ancient Roman philosopher, statesman, politician, senator, lawyer. He was very number of things, a great number of things, I should say, throughout his lifetime and service in Rome. And it's interesting because I decided to check out Cicero more because in a lot of my personal reading with stuff from guys like Thomas Jefferson and the Founding Fathers, they often reference Cicero as an inspiration and natural law. And natural law was kind of a thing that Cicero was very famous for, I guess, bringing into consciousness a little bit. The idea that there are certain human consistencies that are not just Roman consistencies, but they are across cultures and they are just kind of universalities of humanity. So I decided to pick up a book of some of his works. Obviously, this is not all of his works. It's only a 250-page book, and he wrote far more than that. But this one was a collection that seemed to get a lot of very good reviews online because I wasn't quite sure where some of his best works would be to start at the very least. And this one came highly recommended, you know, online by a lot of people that were reviewing similar works and reviewing books of Roman and classical philosophy in general. And he's got a couple of things in here. He's got Against Verus, which is from when he's very young, and he is basically acting in a lawyer capacity where he is a prosecutor against this man Verus, and that was basically acting in a very corrupt manner. And then you have what's called 23 letters, which it's literally that. It's 23 separate letters from him to his wife, his children, friends of his. And there's something of particular note there that I'll get to in a second. The second Philippic against Antony, which this was basically a statement of him against tyranny. Antony trying to consolidate power into himself, and Cicero advocating for trying to hold on to the Republic after Caesar, basically, and after Caesar obviously had made it into a dictatorship. And then you have On Duties and On Old Age. Now, Against Verus is interesting because it immediately out of the gate with some of the stuff that he is talking about, it's kind of universal. And one of the things that when I was in school and they taught these things about, you know, ancient Greece, ancient Rome, things like that, they made it seem like these people were very, I hate to use the word primitive, but it almost came across that way. Like they were kind of muddling their way through these philosophies, and they were kind of muddling their way through these legal systems and these democracies and these republics that they were forming. And reading this, it's clear that these people were very well thought out. You know, when you think about, like, this is BC, this is before biblical times effectively, right? Or during the biblical times effectively. Like these people are not dumb. These people were not primitive. And it's one of those constant failings, I think, in modern academia is where it tries to make it seem like these people were dumb. And he, you know, he's in front of a group of judges and he says it straight out, you know, it is, the belief is on everyone's tongues at Rome and even in foreign countries. It is this, that in these courts with their present membership, even the worst criminal will never be convicted that he provided that he has money. I just butchered that. Let me try that again. This belief is on everyone's tongues at Rome and even in foreign countries. It is this, that in these courts, with their present membership, even the worst criminal will never be convicted provided that he has money. And it's just kind of funny because that's something that we even see in American culture now, right? Like you get celebrities or you get politicians or you get, you know, high-powered business moguls, NFL coaches or you know, players, athletes, whatever, and it seems like they'll do something like drunk driving, for example, and they may crash and, you know, crash their car or kill somebody, whatever, and they never really pay the penalty for it. But if you or I were to do it, it suddenly is like, forget it, and the book's thrown at you, right? Just the fact that you have money, that you have status, changes things. And Cicero is obviously arguing for something that I've said is a cornerstone of Western civilization, truth and honesty and honor. Like, these are the cornerstones that have built up civilization and that you should act in these ways. And then when it comes to the letters, I found particularly interesting because, you know, the speech, the argument that he makes against Varys was meant to be done in public. His philippic against Antony was done in public in front of the Senate. His On Duties and On Old Age were meant to be published. These were like works that he intended to be published. These letters, though, were personal. And what I find interesting is that they published these letters that they still had preserved from him. And he's just, again, talking to his wife, his kids, his friends, whatever. And you get a really good insight into his thoughts and beliefs. Because there are plenty of people that will say things and they'll write books about things and they'll take stances that they don't really believe, but they know it'll sell, right? It'll make them popular, it'll garner them a following, and it'll sell. But behind closed doors, they're not that person. And what's really interesting is that behind closed doors, Cicero believed just as strongly in, you know, Republican democracy. He believed just as strongly in service to Rome. He believed just as strongly in freedom and decentralization of power away from a singular individual. He believed just as strongly that people should be properly represented and probably have a say, like all of these things. You know, and this is not a guy that would shy away from things like war if he felt that it was in Rome's best interests or, you know, in Rome's defense. He had fought, you know, in several of these, he talks about how he's fought in several wars. And this is not a guy who shied away from speaking openly against dictatorial powers like Caesar or like Antony. And he even does, you know, you see that in these letters, you know, he does that publicly opening as well. But not just to get a following, you see that in these letters as well. It's like it almost pains him at times to see the things that people will kind of go along with because they're like, oh, because they think Caesar's handing them this and Caesar's giving them that, that it'll make their lives better. And I'm like, man, history really does repeat itself. It really, really does. But surprisingly, I found my favorite one, and these really aren't spoilers. I mean, see, the guy wrote this stuff, you know, in BC era. So, you know, over 2,000 years ago, I guess. Was the on old age. I really found that to be perhaps the most engaging one out of everything that was in the book, because he talks about aging and the whole how you grow and mature and how you grow wiser and how certain things that you have a tendency towards as a youth, you know, you don't find yourself as drawn to in older age. And he's not just talking about things like sex. He's just talking about certain, you know, frivolous distractions in general is what I would call them. But he does point out that, you know, youthful restraint and, you know, not indulging yourself in, you know, all kinds of, he calls them sensualities, but it took me a little bit to understand that he's not just talking about sex there, not even really about sex at all, but he's talking about excessive drinking, feasting, you know, throwing of parties, all these kinds of very excessive, what I would call hedonistic style activities, which everybody knows Rome is kind of known for with their like vomitoriums and their great feasts and things like that. And he's arguing not for doing these things, to restrain yourself so that, you know, when if you invest in yourself and in your mind, and don't put so much stock in your physical prowess. It's better to try and become educated early on. Take advantage of your youthful vigor, I'm paraphrasing him, while you have it in youth, but also start to hone your mind. So that way when you're older, it's just all the sharper because your wisdom and your knowledge will only grow, hopefully, as you grow older because your mind is your greatest asset and it gets stronger with old age. And he talks about how, you know, when you are young, find your role in life as a young person. You have a strong back. You have a strong arm. You know, that doesn't mean don't use your mind, and it doesn't mean you can't be a lawyer or something like that like he was, but you have to lend your youthful vigor where it is most needed, and then as you get older, you have more to offer your nation, your country, your people, your community, whatever you want, however you want to classify it. Rome, he always talks about Rome. He's a very nationalistic, populistic kind of person. Which is one more reason why I think I love reading what he was, because everything that he did was for himself, obviously. I mean, he definitely, I would say, described himself as a capitalist. He's not doing shit for free, but he has a very nationalistic sense to him, and he does it for himself, his family, and Rome as a whole to try and make people's, you know, people's lives better by giving them as much freedom as possible, because that's his view. If you give people more freedom and you kind of give people the responsibility to, you know, help yourself up or hang yourself, you know, you're going to do what's in your best interest, and that's how Rome as a whole will grow. So really interesting stuff, really, really interesting stuff, stuff that I wish I had been able to study when I was in school. But we kind of, when I was in school, Rome, you know, studying ancient Rome was basically, you know, Rome existed, then Caesar became dictator, and then there was the fall of Rome and the Holy Roman Empire. And you breeze over hundreds and hundreds of years in like that. It's like, all right, but what about all this other stuff? Like the great, again, these guys took what the ancient Greeks had started in Sparta and in Athens, and all of the work of guys like Socrates and Aristotle and Plato, all the work of the Stoics, and they built upon that. And they took the concept of democracy, and they were like, well, the way you guys are doing democracy works when you only have like a handful of people, because again, ancient Greece being a very agrarian, small city-state kind of location, not a whole unified country. Well, they were, you know, the Romans looked at it as like, we are going to unify a nation. Well, this is now millions of people. Well, how do you, you can't give millions of people a direct, you'll have anarchy, because people's, I think it was Plato that said it, that, you know, if you giving everybody the ability to vote and vote on everything at all the times, it's like, you know, you're going to have, it's going to, your the direction of your country is going to change more than the wind, basically, is I'm paraphrasing what he said there. And then, you know, they took that and they were like, okay, well, we can do democracy, but it'll be a representative democracy. So you elect people who now handle politics on your behalf and create this republic, and they build all these things. And you look at what Rome did, and realistically, from what Rome had created, and then it fell, and they tried other stuff throughout the Dark Ages, right, with feudalism and then monarchies and things like that. And eventually we came full circle back to democratic republics, not just for the United States, but for places like England or Canada, or, you know, what they would approximate as democratic republics these days, I suppose. So it's just really interesting, and it's really interesting to hear what I would call the father philosopher of a lot of the stuff that the founders kind of took and expanded upon. So if you're interested in that sort of stuff, this philosophical sort of stuff, I definitely recommend Cicero's Selected Works from Penguin Classics. There's a lot of stuff out there, a lot of books that will gather up Cicero's stuff. If you can find one that has On Old Age, like I said, that was my personal favorite. So I hope that helps you guys in some way. That's it for me. I'm HVK. You guys take it easy. Carry on.